Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst, and this is podcast episode number 158, being recorded on the evening of October 12th, 2008. Well, it's been about a month since my last podcast, and I apologize for the long break. Just been a really crazy schedule, lots of really good things happening, and I've been collecting audio and pictures and video from a lot of different things, and I do hope to catch up in the next couple of weeks on some podcasts about some of the stuff that's been happening this past fall. Well, today I want to talk about a very special thing that happened to me about 2 weeks ago. I was in New York City for a National Teacher of the Year workshop, and while we had a little bit of downtime, I was able to visit Ellis Island. And for those of you that regularly listen to the podcast, you know that Ellis Island is very special to our family because my grandfather, Henry C. Langhorst, came from Germany in 1924 as a 26-year-old, and he came through Ellis Island on his way to Nebraska. So I knew that at some point in my life I really wanted to see Ellis Island, so I was excited when I found out the schedule for New York and that it was going to be possible for me to spend at least part of a day at Ellis Island. And so I just want to tell you a little bit about that day and what happened. And I do have some pictures, I have some video that I'm going to talk about a little bit in the podcast, and I definitely hope that you check out the pictures and video on our podcast page, which is at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. So the day that I visited Ellis Island was September 30th, and we'd been in New York for about 3 days, but I hadn't actually seen the Statue of Liberty until the day that I went to Ellis Island. And that's kind of important, I think, because I can remember my grandfather talking about the Statue of Liberty and him becoming very emotional when he talked about the Statue of Liberty. So I thought it was kind of neat that I didn't actually get an image of what the Statue of Liberty looked like in my mind until I saw it the day that I went to Ellis Island. So I took the subway from Midtown Manhattan down to Battery Park and came up and was able to see the Statue of Liberty for the first time as I started to board the ferry to go to Ellis Island. And I did not stop at the island with the Statue of Liberty. I decided that I wanted to spend more time at Ellis Island, so I was going to save that for another trip. And when I first got to Ellis Island, the first thing that I did was I went to the Immigrant Wall. And they have a wall of names in, I guess it's steel or some type of aluminum. And I can remember back in the 1980s when Lee Iacocca and some of the other people were investing money into redoing Ellis Island to make it what it is today. They asked for donations, and in return for a donation, they would place the name of an immigrant on this wall. And I can remember that our family got some money together and sent the name in. And I always knew that Grandpa's name was on the wall, but I'd never actually seen it in person, of course, since I had not been to Ellis Island before. But my parents have seen it, and different family members had seen it before. So when I got to Ellis Island, I went out, and when they initially did the names, they were in alphabetical order that first year that they put them on. And so I was able to walk right to the panel and find my grandpa's name. And I did shoot some video with a flip cam, and I have some of that video embedded on the blog, and it kind of shows where the name is at. And I got pretty emotional when I first saw it. Called home, talked to Mom a little bit, and talked to Dad. And, you know, just knowing that Grandpa's name was there, and, you know, the fact that it's always going to be there, that, you know, my kids, when I take my kids there, we can see it, and, you know, hopefully my grandkids, and it's always going to be there, you know, with the Statue of Liberty looking over it. And it also struck me odd that when I was there and I was looking across the harbor at where the Twin Towers used to be, you know, I was thinking that, you know, Grandpa's name was there on 9/11 when all the stuff happened with the World Trade Center and things like that. But so that was very emotional to be able to see that name on the wall. And then I went into the Great Hall and went through a lot of the tours. And I did get the audio tour, which was really helpful. And I love it when museums and national parks do that, because you can really go at your own pace and kind of walk around and get a lot of extra information. But I would also definitely encourage you to do the Ranger Talk as well. I was thinking, oh, do I want to do the Ranger Talk? I've got the audio tour. There's probably not a lot of new information, but the Ranger talk was completely different than any of the audio that I got through the audio tour, and I was really glad that I was able to do that. I do have some pictures up on the blog of the Great Hall, which was obviously where most of the immigrants waited as they waited to see if they could come into the United States. And the neat thing about the Great Hall is these gorgeous windows that they have on both sides of it. And I took quite a few pictures of the sunlight filtering through, and I've got one picture that shows the Statue of Liberty kind of through the door of one of the places in the Great Hall. And the benches that are in the Great Hall are the same benches that were there. They didn't say exactly at what year, but they're the original benches for the Great Hall. So the benches that you sit on as you're just walking through and taking the tour are the exact same benches that the immigrants sat on and waited, not knowing if they're going to be allowed into the United States or not. After the tour, and one of the things that the Ranger talked about were the steps just beyond the Great Hall. So as the immigrants would wait to find out if they're going to be able to be allowed into the United States, they'd be called up to the podium where the person would look at the ship's manifest and go ahead and check all that stuff, possibly ask a couple questions. And then they would be able to walk down the hallway, and there were three different divisions in the stairs. And there was one for people that were going into the United States but were going to stay in New York. And there was one in the middle where people would go down if they were going to go into further questioning or interrogation. And then the steps on the far right were the steps for people that were going to a railroad or were actually leaving New York to go to a different part of the United States. And my grandfather had a railroad ticket waiting for him to come to Nebraska. When he came to the United States, he came with his brother, and they had an uncle that had come to the United States before that, and so they had a ticket waiting for him. So it's, and they said that the steps there are the original steps. So I actually stood at the top of the steps, and it really hit me that, wow, this is exactly where my grandfather was standing when he found out that he was going to be allowed into the United States, and then he walked down those exact same steps that I was walking down. And I can't imagine what it must have felt like to know, after being on a ship for, you know, so many weeks and all the planning and preparation, and my grandfather didn't speak English at all when he came to the United States, knowing that you'd been allowed to now come into the United States and then get to that train and then be able to start your journey to the middle part of the United States. So a lot of really neat, authentic type stuff that was there, and it was just a really powerful day and very moving. I spent about 5 hours there, just walked around a lot and, you know, kind of took my time and just sat down a little bit and thought about a lot of things. And, you know, I think about my grandfather a lot, because I don't know if I could make that same decision that he made. You know, he was a 26-year-old. He had fought in World War I as a German Marine, and his entire family lived in Germany, except for his uncle. And, you know, he knew that ultimately he'd probably have a better life if he came to the United States. And so he left his family, he left everything that he knew, and went to a country where he couldn't speak the language. And I don't know if I could make that same decision today, but I can remember when I was in high school, Warren Buffett was giving a presentation or a speech, and I wasn't at it physically, I just saw it on TV, but he was talking about how he was so fortunate to be able to live in the United States, and that basically that was his lottery ticket, that he'd already won the lottery because he was born as a United States citizen. And, you know, I was born as a United States citizen because of choices that people made many, many years before me that had to be extremely tough choices to make. On my mom's side, my relatives came from Ireland, and so they came in search of a better life as well, actually earlier than my grandfather did from Germany. So, you know, could I actually do that today if I knew that it was going to be a better situation for me, if it was going to be a better situation for my family? Could I make that same choice? And I honestly don't know if I could. So, but some other neat things that happened at Ellis Island while I was there. They did have a mock trial of an immigrant. If you were actually trying to find out a little bit more about, for example, like if work was waiting for them in the United States, because technically that was illegal. If they had, if a factory owner had arranged for you to come from another country, that was actually illegal. It was made to protect the people here in the United States. So they do this only a couple times a week, I guess, but they had a reenactment. And I did shoot some of that with my flip video, and I'm going to put that up on the web, and I hope to have that on the blog soon. But that was kind of a neat thing to actually see people, you know, a little bit in period clothes and actually giving us some feedback about what happened in the real trial. And again, it'll make a little bit more sense when I put the video up, but definitely check out and see if there's any of those special activities while you're at Ellis Island so that you can go ahead and then participate in those and get a little bit of extra background. Also, if you go to Ellis Island, definitely check on the internet, and I would do this ahead of time. You can do this when you're at Ellis Island as well, but they do charge you a little bit for the fee of using the computer, and a lot of this you can do at home. So go ahead and check out if you have ancestors that came through Ellis Island, and you can see the ship's manifest and then print that out, and it's a microfiche of the ship manifest page. And I've actually been able to see my grandfather's, and it's pretty incredible to see, you know, the line where they actually put the information down, and there's a whole series of questions I had to answer about each individual person. And like I said, you can do it at Ellis Island, but if you're at Ellis Island, you probably really want to spend that time walking around and looking at things and, you know, maybe taking a ranger tour and stuff. You don't get anything really that special at Ellis Island that you wouldn't be able to do at your computer at home. And I did a little bit of research on that ahead of time, and thought that it might be possible to see the ship's manifest itself, and emailed some people at Ellis Island and got a reply that back in, I believe it was the 40s, they microfished all the ship manifests, and then the ship manifests were destroyed. So the originals for many of those ship manifests do not actually exist, but the microfiche does exist, fortunately, of those different ship manifests. So, well, we're at about 12 minutes or so, so I'll kind of wrap stuff up, but definitely go ahead and check that out. Ellis Island was an incredible experience. If you have ancestors that went through Ellis Island, and I believe, I'm probably going to get this stat wrong, but I think it was something like 1 out of every 5 Americans have a descendant that came through Ellis Island. So if you're in New York and you're doing the sightseeing thing, definitely go ahead and take the time to go out to Ellis Island. You know, just the people that were walking around on the tour with me and just kind of looking at everybody, I think everybody, you know, kind of recognized that this is a very special place in American history. And, you know, we have lots of issues with immigration today. And, you know, I often think back to my grandfather not being able to speak the language and, you know, really just coming to the United States for an opportunity. You know, how does that play into our politics today and immigration policy today? So thanks for listening. Definitely check out the blog. And if you have any comments, you can email me, as always, at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks, and we'll talk again soon. Bye. The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys.